Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the NEX Growth and Income Fund conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. David Ruud. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Before I hand it over to John Germain, our lead portfolio manager, for some updates on the fund, I'd just like to highlight what the original premise of the fund was, which is to invest in the top 20 yielding securities in the NASDAQ 100. We then allocate between 3 to 7% in each of those top 20 names. And then that universe of top 20 names is then reestablished as of December 31st of each year. We can also invest in some top non-top 20 securities included in the NASDAQ 100, which we call our basket securities. And then from that dividend yield on the portfolio and the option strategy that we overlay, we pay a quarterly distribution of 6% of the original $10 issue price. I would also like to note that there is an update, a fund update page on our website under the overview section for the funds for the NDX Growth and Income Fund. And also as a reminder, if you do have any questions during the conference call, please keep them in. We'll have a Q&A at the end of the call. So with that, I'd like to hand it over to John.
Thanks, Dave. Again, thanks to everyone who's dialed in our call today. We thought we'd take this opportunity to give advisors an update of what's happening in the NDX Growth and Income Fund, how the fund has performed over the last year and a quarter since closing in late 2013, as well as how the fund is positioned to capitalize on our view as we go forward. So Dave stated the investment mandate for the fund, investing primarily in the 20 highest yielding equity securities in the NASDAQ 100, kind of a dogs of the Dow theory, if you will, of the NASDAQ. Weighting 3 to 7%, and then we reconstitute that annually. And then the basket and any of the other 80 securities making up the NASDAQ 100, which we recently changed at the end of 2014. We increased that from the original 20% up to 25% in order to give us greater flexibility in managing the fund. So that's the mandate. How has the fund performed? Well, since the inception of the fund, going back to December 19th, of 2013 up until first quarter ending March 31 of this year, total return for the NDX Growth and Income Fund, 7.5%. That's versus the equal-weighted 20 highest-yielding securities of the NASDAQ 100 of 7.3%. So just slightly outperformed, obviously, net of fees and expenses. However, during the same period, as most of you are probably aware, NASDAQ 100 has, which reached new highs at the end of February, generated a very strong total return of 25.8%. So quite a large discrepancy, over 18 percentage points between what the NASDAQ 100 has done and the mandate of what our fund has done. So why is that? Well, a couple main reasons for this difference in performance. First being Apple, by far the largest weight in the NASDAQ 100, current weight of over 14% of the index. Since the start of the fund, Apple's up 64%. That's contributed about 29% of the NASDAQ 100 return. Apple is not one of the highest 20 or 20 highest yielding securities in the NASDAQ, so it is a basket. We have owned Apple since the start of this fund, average weight of 2.6%, and that's contributed to about 125 basis points of return to the fund. Facebook's another reason for this performance differential, up 49%. That's contributed 5.5% to the return of the NASDAQ. It doesn't pay a dividend, so obviously not one of the 20 highest-yielding securities. And again, we have owned it a few times since inception, average weight of 1.6%, and that's contributed about 85 basis points to the performance of the NDX Growth and Income Fund. And then finally, biotech stocks within the NASDAQ 100 have also contributed a large amount of return. Gilead, Amgen, Biogen, Celgene all perform very strongly. Biotech stocks within the NASDAQ 100 up about 44% on average since the start of this fund, and that's contributed over 19% of the return to the NASDAQ. And again, none of these stocks are within our mandate of the 20 highest yielding securities. So just tie that all in, Apple, Facebook, and biotech stocks have contributed almost 14 percentage points, or in other words, over 53% of the 25.8% return of the NASDAQ 100 since the fund started. None of those stocks are included in the top 20 highest yielding, which is our primary mandate. So hopefully that gives you at least some perspective on why the fund has lagged the return of the NASDAQ 100. We do have, as Dave said in our update, we do have a sheet beyond the one-page update kind of giving you the price graph and return graph of the NASDAQ 100 relative to the fund, and shows you that performance differential attributed to those three reasons. So that might be something you want to send out to your clients. So with that being said, obviously we're not content with the performance of the fund so far, and that was really the reason why we made some changes at the end of last year to the investment strategy in order to give us more flexibility going forward, which we believe will contribute to better performance over time. First change, as I stated, increasing the basket to 25%, giving us more flexibility to have more exposure to securities outside the mandate if and when we believe they provide better opportunities. As of March 31st this year, fund has approximately 23% weight in basket securities, names such as Apple, Google, Costco. We also changed our foreign exchange hedging program for the fund at the end of last year. Shareholders voted in favor of allowing us to have a more active hedging strategy versus being mandated to hedge U.S. dollar exposure at all times. And we think this gives us also greater flexibility going forward. We are still positive on the U.S. dollar, and reducing this hedge, we think over time, will provide better performance. We ended the first quarter of 2014 at 50% hedge versus 100% at the end of 2014. Now, with respect to call writing, we have been selective with our call writing since the start of the fund, on average around 10% written. Part of that low level was definitely driven by the low level volatility for the securities within the portfolio, providing very little premium income for the risk of capping upside. But that being said, vol levels have on average moved up relative to where they were in 2014, and we have been more active so far in 2015. Currently written on a third of the portfolio, which is our maximum limit for this fund. We continue to believe volatility will trend higher over the next few years on our expectation that the Federal Reserve will embark on its first state tightening cycle in over a decade, and expect volatility to somewhat move in tandem with the long end of the curve. Sitting here today, we do remain positive on the prospects for the fund. Companies within the portfolio continue to possess sound fundamentals. Many companies reported better than expected fourth quarter of 2014 earnings. Cisco reported a beat on February 12, 53 cents versus 51 consensus, with its core IP switching business, which makes up over a third of their revenues. That grew 11% year over year, and the best growth we've seen in 2.5 years. While Analog Devices also reported better earnings on February 17th of 63 cents, revenues up 23% year over year, and they also raised their guidance for 2015 on stronger margins, but also more penetration with Apple as they are helping develop their new 3D force touch screen capabilities for the new iPhone and iPads to be launched in the next few years. Many of these companies also continue to return cash to shareholders due to the large amount of cash sitting on their balance sheets, one of the premises or thesis that we brought this fund out. This was demonstrated in fourth quarter earnings reports as we saw some dividend increases. A couple of examples, Linear up their dividend by 11%, Cisco reported a 10.5% increase, and Analog Devices an 8%. Finally, M&A activity for the portfolio has also picked up this year with a few notable transactions. First being Kraft Foods, which is in the portfolio, merging with H.J. Heinz to create the third largest food provider in North America, fifth largest in the world. Kraft shares are up 47% since this transaction was announced, and the company also announced a special dividend of $16.50 per share on the merger announcement. Also, Staples announced in early February it was acquiring Office Depot for $6.3 billion U.S., estimated synergies of $1.4 billion. And assuming the transaction does go through, Staples will now be the sole national provider of office and school supplies in the U.S., down from three just a couple of years ago. Finally, it was reported near the end of March that Intel is in conversations to acquire specialized chipmaker Altera, which has a market cap of about $13 billion relative to Intel, which has $145 billion market cap. So So with better earnings growth that we've seen out of fourth quarter, expectations that that will continue, better dividend growth, also share buybacks that we see going forward, and attractive valuation still for the 20 stocks within the portfolio, we continue to be positive on the outlook for the NDX Growth and Income Fund. And with the changes that we've made to the investment strategy, giving us more flexibility with baskets as well as foreign exchange hedging, we continue to be positive for this fund on a go-forward basis. So with that said, I'd like to turn it back to the operator to open up the lines to any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Certainly. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. Once again, please press star 1 for any questions or comments. Mr. Rood, we do not have any questions registered at this time.
Well, thank you, operator. So just a few final comments. I appreciate everyone joining us today. And as a reminder, that two-page update, I guess, is on the website under the NDX fund in the overview section. It's called Fund Update. It's a PDF. And that graph that John was talking about is included as a third page to that. So if anyone does have any questions after they've gone through the material and wanted to talk to us, you can reach me at 416-681-3940 or email at drood@strathbridge.com. Always look forward to hearing from people. So with that, operator, thank you very much.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you all for your participation.